What's going on, gamblers, degens, and everybody else in between? This is the Gamblers Anonymous Podcast, GAP, GAP for short, because we're closing the gap between you and the bookies. It is Saturday, roughly 2 o'clock p.m. here in Winnipeg. I know I'm a day late with it, but nonetheless, I'm coming here with them locks. Them locks this weekend. We got a little Final Four action in March Madness. I can't touch it because I'm a day late, unfortunately. But you know, we do have time for the new league, UFL. You know, I got some hot locks for you, y'all. I'm your host for this episode, JG. And let's just get into the recap. So let's start it off. I have two recaps to do for you. Episode 69 and episode 70. Start off with 69. I gave y'all NC State versus Marquette. NC State first half spread at +3.5, -115. And you know this lock came in. They actually won the first half 37-24. And now they're in the Final Four. But I don't think they're beating Purdue. Sorry. I told you my team of the tournament's Purdue. I think they're going to win the whole thing. But I guess we'll find out tonight what happens. My second lock I gave to you guys: Purdue to win and either team not to score 80 points. And what happened? At -155, Purdue ended up winning 80-68 against Gonzaga. For the third time in 3 years, they did it again. Purdue, how you doing? Zach Edey went off 27 points, 14 boards. I'm telling you, this guy's a sensation. Is he the next Wemby? I don't know about that. But he is a big fucking bastard from the north, and he's fucking doing it. The third one I gave y'all, oh, come on. Creighton versus Tennessee, and I had Creighton on the money line +125. They were winning at halftime, but they just couldn't hold on. They ended up losing 75-82. You know, foul trouble at the end of the game. That's what you got to do. So, you know what? We finished that one off 2-1. Next, episode 70. Started off, I had Bologna versus Salernitana, and I told you Bologna to record a clean sheet. They did get a clean sheet. They won 3-0 against the lowly Salernitana. See you in Serie B next year. So that's 1-0. Second one I gave y'all, Lecce versus Roma. I had a Roma full-time result, -110. Ended up 0-0, a tie game, draw. I should have checked the game notes. I fucked up. I'm sorry to y'all. I didn't realize how many injuries they had and what they were going through. That's on me, but I still thought Daniele De Rossi, I thought there was enough talent in there. They should have been able to get it done. They should have, but they just slipped 2 points away to Bologna in the standings. I don't know if they'll catch them now for that final Champions League spot, the Europa League spot, but who knows? I guess only time will tell. So we lost that one. But then the final one I gave you all, guys, Inter Milan versus Empoli. I had Asian handicap corners at +4 for Empoli at $1.975. Almost plus money. I told you, I did the math, broke it all down. I thought it was going to end up 6-4 for Inter. Ended up 8-6. So no big deal. That came in easily. I thought Empoli was actually going to win it at one point with the corners. That's how good they were doing. But unfortunately, that's not how it went. So I went 2-1 again. So last two episodes combined, I went 4-2. Pretty damn good. When it comes to the moon, I had Sassuolo Udinese full-time result draw +225. Came in. Then Roma to win and over 2.5 goals. Well, neither team scored and Roma didn't win. So that didn't happen. And then I had Inter versus Empoli halftime draw. Inter won 1-0. What are you going to do? It's Inter. Team of destiny. They're going to get the Scudetto this year. But never mind that. We're on to this week. New locks. New leagues. New winners. Let's fucking go. Lock number one to the new football league. The UFL. Baby. L for lock. First up, we got the Houston Renegades versus the DC Defenders. We're going to go alternative spread here, and we're going to bring the spread to 40 points at -125. Now, there's not a lot of data I can go off since it's a new league and the last week was its first week in the UFL history. But we got to go back to the XFL where I do got data I can bring to you because these were two XFL teams. And in the keep in mind, DC is at home this game. And in the six games at home, they went five times to hit the over in this game. At home, they hit over 40 points five times, and they hit 40 points once. So it's 5-0-1. So at the very least, we're going to get a push from this game. And when these two teams played, I'm going to tell you what happened. Houston ended up with 26, and DC put up 37 when they played DC at home. And when you go last week, what happened? What happened? DC had two touchdowns taken off the board because of two penalties. They had a lineman about one, 2 yards past the line of scrimmage. So offensive lineman down the field got wiped out, taken back. Tough break. And then they had another. It had to do with someone spitting on someone. I don't really know what happened, to be honest. But they got that one wiped off too, so they didn't even get a touchdown last week. But if they did, they would have hit this over. And when DC defenders are at home, like Kobe said, they're a different beast and the same animal. Whatever he told Kanye, and Kanye was confused. I'm confused. You don't have to be confused because this is a lot coming in. So Houston Roughnecks versus DC defenders over 40 points minus 125. Lock number two, sticking with the UFL action, Birmingham Stallions versus the Michigan Panthers. Two USFL teams now, and I got the Stallions at -6.5, -110. Again, we're going off 1 week of UFL action, but man oh man, did the USFL champs, the Birmingham Stallions, look like the best team in the UFL from what I saw, beating the XFL champs last week. While the Michigan Panthers snuck out a win against the Battlehawks with not one, but two kicks. I forget his name. The kicker had to hit two back-to-back 64-yard kick field goals, and he did it. Wow. Shout out to that guy. He's going to get an NFL contract. But if we're going to go off straight QB play from what I saw the first week, Matt Corral outplayed EJ Perry. I'm telling you right now, the quarterback situation for the Stallions are way better than Perry for the Panthers. And how fitting is it that Corral plays for the Stallions? Because the Panthers are not going to corral this Stallions offense. And fuck yeah, that was a pun intended for y'all. And now let's go back to the USFL action, because the last two times these teams have played, twice in the past 2 years, the Stallions have covered both of them. Both times they have covered it. They beat them 27-13 last year in 2023, and they beat them again in 2022, 33-17. And even last week when they played the Renegades, they covered the -6.5. So I can't see them not covering this game. The Stallions are for real. Stallions, -6.5. And just because I forgot to do it for the first one, for over 40 points between the DC Defenders and the Houston Roughnecks. And now let's go to lock number three. And for this one, no more UFL action, but we're headed back to tennis. The ATP Monte Carlo. And I got Nicholas Jarry versus Thomas Martin Echeverry. And we are betting this match goes to not one, not two, but three sets at +110. Everything about this match screams three sets. One player 6-6 in Jarry, the other 6-5 in Thomas Martin Echeverry. I'm going to just refer to him as Thomas for now because that's a fucking hard name to say. Jerry is ranked 18th in the world. Thomas is ranked 30th in the world. Jerry has a match rating of 1.13. Thomas has a 1.46. Handle, 0.81. handle 0.88, the surface rating 2.62 for one, while the other has a 2.93. These two are identical practically. They are practically a parallel of one another. They both are considered clay quarters. Just look at their overall record. Jari has 290 wins and 152 losses. Thomas has 272 wins and 134 losses. This year alone, Jari has a 61% win rate on clay, and Thomas has a 64% win rate. I'm telling you, everything these guys do is pretty much parallel to one another. Still not enough? Let's look at their history against one another. In their five matches played against each other, all on clay, by the way, the first match they played against each other, that only went to two sets. The next three went to three sets. And the last one they recently played would have gone to three sets, but Echeverry retired the match after he won the second set because he had an injury. So technically, it would have hit the three-set mark. So if you really look at it, the last four matches these two have played against each other, they have went to three sets. And at plus 110, shit. Now, let's go to the moon. For the first one, we got between the Michigan Panthers and the Birmingham Stallions. First score method, field goal, plus 140. Either team can score the field goal. Only one game in the XFL last week didn't have a field goal to start it off, and that was the Defenders game. But we'll hold off on that one. And when the first two matches these two teams have played each other in 2022 and 2023, but the field goal was scored in the first match. I don't know who scored it. I couldn't see the box score. I couldn't see who got the field goal first, but they each had a field goal. So we're going to take them at plus 140. Next one I got, DC Defenders plus 160 to score the first touchdown of the match, or I mean the first score of the match, touchdown for the Defenders at plus 160. Like I said, they got two touchdowns taken off. I believe they would have scored the first touchdown if it didn't get wiped off. But what are you going to do? They're going to bounce back this week, and they're going to get a touchdown against the Renegades. And finally, we have Nicholas Jari to beat Thomas Martin Echeverry 2-1 in sets, because I said it's going three sets, at plus 275. When I was just looking at all the stats, I know he's only won 61% to 65%, I believe I said. Let me go double check that. Yep, 61 to 64%. But the service, the break holds, the opponent's aces compared to default, it's all in Nicholas Jari's favor. And we're going to ride with that. If you look, they played five matches. Jari Echeverry won the first three. Jari's about won the last two. He's got to win the last one to tie up the series. So we're going to take him at plus 275 to win the sets 2-1. And when you put that together, that comes to plus 2,240. Throw 30 on it, you get a nice $702 in the bank account. That sounds pretty sweet to me. Well, that's it for this episode. Have a great weekend. Gamble at your own risk. We'll see you next week. Peace.